If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Just take a moment and let's just expand the universe a little bit, shall we?
You must unlearn what you have learned.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Corfu with Kenobi presents Legends Library.
There's always a bit of truth in legends.
Routine information is not repeat, not simply shouted in the general direction of its intended recipient. Is that clear?
To defeat an enemy, you must learn.
Now here are your hosts, Luke Siders and Randy Theriault.
But enough of this. You've come a long way to challenge me. Make a worthy effort.
Hey everyone, I'm Randy.
And I'm Luke.
And you are listening to Legends Library. We're a podcast dedicated to the Legends line of Star Wars books. Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Very cool. Very cool. We're at our time of recording right now, we're about a week and a day away from the new Rebels season. What are you looking forward to the most?
Come on. What are you looking at, Thrawn?
I don't know, Thrawn.
yeah. No, I'm pretty excited. I just hope they do it right.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I don't care if they do it right. Just do it.
Yeah.
I know that. I just, at this point, there's enough anticipation where it's like, I don't care if it's right or wrong, just whatever it is, I just want to see it.
Yeah.
Some of the other trailers, like mini trailers that have come out, little teasers, there's a Bogan character and a big old huge character that plays a, kind of a celestial being, and that looks really cool. Kind of looks like a giant yak. So everyone knows that yaks are strong with a force. If you've ever been on a yak farm, you know that. I've never been on a yak farm. I'm just saying. What's that?
Isn't it supposed to be like a mortise thing or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, kind of a mortise-y kind of yak mortise thing.
Yeah.
So I think at the end, like, Kanan like milks him, or I don't know. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. I have no idea. I hope that wasn't a spoiler. So anything else? I'm getting the impression that all of the trailers, all the information that we're seeing so far, is just like the first like two or three or four episodes, maybe from the first arc. There's a whole bunch after that that we probably have no idea what is about to hit us.
It's been kind of like a nice break, I guess, from Star Wars. I don't know. It's been like a month since really much has happened. So, but I mean, it's kind of nice because we're going to get a bunch of it soon in a couple months here.
Yeah. And we'll
sometimes
be,
you need a little break, you
we
know.
We do. It's that like and a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
So
then cool. We got a couple more months in Rogue One.
I know. Are you looking forward to that? I mean, of course, we're all looking forward to it.
I mean, yeah, like, I'm looking forward to it. Not as much as Force Awakens, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe it's best that I go into it like that.
I can't
harder
wait
to be disappointed when you're not going all crazy about it.
That's true. Like, the Forrest Whitaker character is so intriguing to me. The character that says there is no, everything is as the Force wills it. I'm curious about that. I think it's going to be cool. I don't think that it does have the hype that the Force Awakens did, but it was such a big deal that it was the first, and it was like kind of groundbreaking, and it's kind of kickstarting the new season of movies here. And I don't think that anything could measure up to that. Of course, besides Avatar, but
yeah,
it's the only movie that did even come close. But
we'll all go see it. We'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Anything going on in your neck of the woods in your fandom?
I mean, one Saturday we were cleaning, so I was going through the TV, and there was on Disney XD. There's some Lego brick. I don't know, some Lego Star Wars show for kids. Watched an episode of that, and you know, it's kind of hard to watch, but
okay.
So I watched that, delved into that Star Wars universe a little bit.
Okay, I heard it's kind of cool.
And it was okay. I mean, I don't know.
It's not
maybe
like,
if I was watching it with one of my kids, and we, you know, a little different. Just me sitting on the couch watching it.
That's cool. Anything else going on with you?
Not with Star Wars. Not okay. Really. No. We're just kind of getting ready for, you know, we're in the busy season right now. So school started, sports starting, you know, all that.
I gotcha.
Football.
I'm with you. I'm with you right now. This is how busy I am. I've been taking in so much Star Wars Legends material. I'm right now in the midst of, I'm at like 100 and something pages into Vector Prime. I'm in book 3 now. I started just a few weeks ago, maybe about a week and a half ago, with Legacy of the Force. So I've read Betrayal, I've read Bloodlines, or listened to, not read, that should be honest. And then I'm at Tempest right now. And that series, I loved it. I've always loved it. It's my favorite series, but it just blows me away. Just the... I totally get what people say about like the main characters as far as Han Solo and their his voicing and what he's, you know, how he was written. And I get that that's annoying, but if you can put up with the first couple chapters, and just let it slide until you allow yourself to kind of get immersed in that particular book series, it is just lights out awesome. And so I'm hoping someday we get a chance to, you know, to review those books, because it would be a year. It's like a 9-book series, so it would be a commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
And somehow we've got to go through the Yuuzhan Vong series, which is the New Jedi Order, which is 19 books, which we've talked about in the past, just doing the hardcover books that came out, which would be kind of cool. It would only be, I think, 5 or 6 or something like that, which would be a little bit more easier, or a little bit easier to digest, but still that's a daunting task in itself. But
someday we'll have to do it.
What's that?
We're going to run out of books eventually, so we'll have to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we are running out of Zahn books, but...
only have 2-3 left, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So, and speaking of upcoming books, I thought it'd be really cool that we give the schedule for the next few months, closing out the end of the year and kicking off the new year. Do you want to go ahead? We had a contest this month, didn't we?
Yeah. Yep. We for the first time we had our contest, for our listeners. We called it Legends Library Card. 16. That was the hashtag on Twitter. So we had people apply to basically join our show, and I wrote all the names down a sheet, and then I texted you and had you pick a number, and our winner for the contest was Lisa Mountain, and she suggested Rise of Darth Vader for our next book.
Yeah, Matthew Stover, right?
James Luceno.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So, yeah, and that's one that we've talked about before, so that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, and it's going to be a cool... two things. It's going to be really cool to have somebody join us that we've never met before.
Yeah.
It's really cool to have somebody, someone that's a listener, kind of join us, which is really cool, and I think that's going to be a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. Just playing some jazz, just a little bit of improv there. And so it'll be really cool to meet Lisa, and hear her perspective, and to go through that book. Cause I've listened to it once before, and it's really cool. So I'm looking forward to next month, just talking with Lisa Mountain. So Lisa, congratulations. You're our winner. You're our 2016 Legends Library Card winner.
Yeah.
And we will post that on Twitter, and there's a really cool image that'll go along with that. You guys will see that here in a couple days. So by the time this is posted, this podcast is posted, hopefully that we got a little library card for you that we want to show everyone. pretty cool. So
yeah. And then real quick, I want to thank everybody else who applied too. We saw obviously all the books and everybody that applied, and you guys gave some great books, some great duologies and stuff that were given as suggestions. So I mean, it was pretty cool when we were picking. It was like, man, this can go either way. There's a lot of good books in here, and thanks to everybody else for applying.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's so awesome to have a two-way conversation. You know, just to know that there are listeners out there that still are listening to these books and are reading these books and still listening to us. Yeah. All the new stuff that's coming out, there's still a huge love for these old characters and these old books and this old universe thread, expanded thread, if you will. So November is going to be cool. Alex Damon from Star Wars Explained is Star Wars Minute has changed to Star Wars Explained, and we're going to be reviewing the book Rogue Squadron, which is really cool. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, Alex had a chance to interview Michael Stackpole from your neck of the woods. Alex bumped into Michael Stackpole at Dragon Con, I believe. And so there's about a 20-minute interview. Yeah, so if you guys are interested, check that out. And we have a special treat in December. Published author Samantha Eklund, who's a good friend of mine. I narrated one of her books that will it'll be published here in just a couple weeks on Audible.com and Amazon. She's written a book called in the beginning, and so it's a really cool book, really awesome. But we're going to be talking about, she's a female author, and so we thought it would be really cool to talk Timothy Zahn's Allegiance with Samantha, and kind of get an author's perspective. So I'm really looking forward to that, because Samantha is such a good friend, and she's got a really cool creative mind, and we've had a lot of fun talking about her books. And so I invited her to come join Luke and I to talk about our books, the books that we're into.
All right. And then for January, we're going to do Choices of One, which is the second half of that. Do you even call it a duology, I guess, at this point? They basically go hand in hand. It's the, what are those guys called? Lerone and his group?
Yep.
It's like the second part of their story.
Yeah, and at this point, it's a duology because it's a continuation, but there's no closure to it.
Mm. It's a cool series, though. I like it, and I'm pretty excited, but that's as far as we've gotten, so we're going to work at figuring out what do we do past that point.
Yeah. But we do have quite a few books planned. So I have heard, I have seen that there's some people that have requested the Legacy of the Force series. But we'll see what happens there. But we'll kind of work it out. Right now we've got 4 months ahead planned, and we got this book ahead of us, and we've got a long one tonight. So why don't we head over to our book review? What do you say, Luke?
All right, let's do it. All right, everybody, let's start the book review. And where do we begin? I mean, I don't know if you read the book or if you did the audiobook, but this was long. I mean, I barely finished right before this podcast, and I was cranking it out. I didn't even take a break. Sometimes, you know, with the books, I take a break on the way to work and I'll listen to music or something. This time every day, I was like, I got to listen to it. I gotta listen on the way to work, on the way home. I listened for like 3 hours at work every day this week, trying to catch up, because it got away from me, and it's 26 hours.
Yeah.
And because of that, I don't know about you, but let's go back to the beginning of this book.
Let's do it.
We have multiple situations. We have Luke Skywalker just landing on, was it Nerwan?
Mm-hmm.
To find Mara Jade and help her out. We have that plot line. Mm-hmm. We have Han and Leia, you know, going on their little vacation to Packard Minor. And then we have Talon Card and Shayta Ducal going on their journey to find George Cardas.
Yeah.
Pelion's sitting out in the middle of space, just hanging out, waiting for
Bel Iblis.
Uh-huh. And then, I mean, there's the trio of... Me and Randy, we were texting each other. We called them Three Stooges at one point. You called them the Three Amigos. And,
yeah. So it's Moff Deesra, Flim, and...
Groden Tierce. Major Groden Tierce.
Yeah.
So we have all these situations going on. Where do you want to start? Because I think we can just go either one, and it's we got a long ways to go.
Well, let's go ahead and start with... Luke and Mara. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah. Let's go ahead. Do you want to knock them out as pieces?
Yeah, let's just go. Let's take each thread one at a time.
That's the easiest way. There's no way I can keep track.
So
26 hours. I mean, I don't even know what I ate 26 hours ago.
That's true. You know? And I'll tell you, I finished this week. I don't know who's better off, you who just finished it or me. I finished it like a week and a half ago. And so... And listen to like all these three other books since then. So
yeah,
but I've listened to it before, so there's a familiarity there, especially kind of an overall thing. Maybe you're bringing the details, and I bring kind of an overall overview kind of thing. But Luke ends up running into these people. They're not people. They're like creatures. And they're not actually talking
to
the Quamque. Listen to you. You know all this stuff, the details. You're always a detail guy. So the Quamque, they don't actually talk, but they're talking in the Force to Luke. And then eventually Luke does find Mara Jade, because he was going to Nerwan to rescue Mara. He's had this vision of Mara Jade kind of lifelessly floating in water, and so he's afraid that that's her death. So he went by himself, and he's going to save Mara on this planet. So there's a lot of really like intense emotional scenes. I feel like one of the bummer deals about this whole thing are those little characters that kind of are helping along the way, almost like whenever they find themselves in a situation where they're never going to get out of it. It was like too easy that they're bailed out by these little creatures, and they're annoying. Their names were annoying. They're named by how they were known.
Guy.
The performance was kind of not very pleasant, when especially if you had earphones in. It was just frustrating, but there are some really cool, like really intensely emotional scenes along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Mara Jade is injured in the tunnels. Mara Jade is injured, and Luke has to put Mara into a kind of a healing trance.
Yeah, that's when they get into the castle.
Yeah, and they're
shot at or whatever.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
and there's this scene, and I think it's really profound that and what it brought up was the relationship that Anakin had with Padme, and the nature of their relationship was that Anakin needed Padme. That there was this like selfishness to his love for her. He loved her because he needed her, or he loved her because it was like a self-serving selfishness. And while Luke put Mara in this healing trance, there's inner dialogue that Timothy Zahn kind of exposes to the reader about just Luke's heart for her, and his instead he chooses in that moment while he's watching her being healed over, you know, a couple days or whatever it is, he's kind of contemplating the nature of his relationship with her, and he gets to this place where he says basically he's gonna serve her. And it's like this, at that point, their relationship as a couple starts to really develop. I feel like that's kind of like the moment where a step is taken, and Luke takes that first step by kind of releasing her. And it's kind of like this really cool, unselfish kind of love, where he just kind of releases her to the Force and releases her to whatever happens in the future. Maybe it's me, maybe it's not, but there's not that selfish need. And I feel like from that point forward, it's okay to have a relationship, because Luke has already struggled with all of these relationships in the expanded universe and in the Legends storyline. And it's always come to like this crashing, like awful end. All of these, Callista and, how there's a couple other characters that he has relationships with, and it just falls flat because I don't think he understands how to juggle that whole Jedi / relationship connection thing. But I feel like he finally figures it out right here when he's watching her kind of being healed. And I thought that it was a very fast moment, and it kind of passed by in a book in the middle of this huge book. But I thought it was a very profound moment, both for them and for relationships and Jedi relationships for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you remember that, or if that was something that kind of stood out for you, or if there's other.
No, I.
Go ahead.
No, I do. I mean, and there was like points throughout our story arc where they would like stop. And I know before then, when they were going through the caves and then there's the fire creepers and mm-hmm. stuff, and there was points where they would sit down and talk, and she basically told them that he was being snobby and thinking that he could save the world, and he's got to let stuff happen, let people make mistakes, and just stop trying to save everybody, stop getting people's head. And I think I got through to him, and that's, you know, one of the points also where they got closer, and then he went in a healing trance, and then she started, you know, think about him too. And there was multiple parts in their story arc, I think, where they were growing in connection.
And the fact that they were kind of doing some version of like a battle melding or like a fight melding, where they're taking on
each other's head and stuff.
Yeah. And more than anybody else, I felt like it was kind of like Timothy Zahn's kind of like, he was a dude writing a love story. And so it wasn't that intimate as far as like,
yeah,
they found out that they had a really deep connection in the Force, and it wasn't like this. And it's, I think it was in its right place in a sci-fi book,
mm-hmm.
a sci-fi fantasy.
You didn't feel like it was forced or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't like out of place,
you know, 50 Shades of Thrawn or whatever. It wasn't like, it was just like, okay, they have this special connection, and you know, there's not a lot, even in, you know, in Empire, which is the most, or the heaviest of a love story. It's still, there's not a lot of like, it's, you know, passing scenes. There's not a lot of like really deep, even when they are face to face and there's, and they're about to kiss, there's, you know, C-3PO kind of breaks in. And so, you know, this particular storyline between Mara and Luke kind of fits that thing where, you know, it's there, it's spoken, the foundations and the little intricacies are a little bit visible, but it's like, yeah. And then in the end, they end up, you know, they end up in love or whatever. They actually find the Hand of Thrawn, and the Hand mm-hmm. of Thrawn, which they were thinking it was a person, some
weapon
or whatever. And it ended up to be a fortress, that had five towers, and it was kind of shaped like an open hand. And that's where the Hand of Thrawn came. That's where the name of the Hand of Thrawn came to be. And they found that, and there's a cloning facility and all that kind of stuff. So they were able to destroy the cloning facility, and then they also,
what about the conversation? Conversation with Voss Park and Baron Fell. I thought that was one of the coolest parts.
Oh, with
that whole arc where Mara Jade goes to talk with him, and Voss Park is there, and he's been gone for so long, and he basically explains why they're out there and what Thrawn was doing, and he wasn't actually like exiled, and the whole mission of being out there, and
he I've forgotten this part actually.
Yeah, so Voss Park basically Mara knows that they're not going to kill her. They want her for some reason. So they capture her and they have the Ys Elemiri everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Voss is talking to Mara and trying to get her on their side because he knows that she knows the current Empire and the current New Republic. And they've been out here for so long that they're kind of out of touch a little bit.
Okay.
And Voss Park is the one who originally found Thrawn and brought him to the Emperor. And then they're, you know, Mara's like, oh, well, Thrawn was kind of kicked out because of political stuff. And they're like, no, he wasn't. He was, was all instrumented by the Emperor to send Thrawn out to the unknown regions for years. And they took over tons of territory. But he also told Mara, there's 150 threats that would make you just scream if you knew about them. And they're out there and we need to fight them. And that's what that was Thrawn's plan.
Hmm.
And he thought that the Empire was strong enough to fight it. Huh. So now they're waiting for Thrawn to come back because Thrawn said 10 years and he'd be back.
That's a 10-year thing.
So okay, they're weary. They're not sure if Bastion's Thrawn is the Thrawn because they don't know about the cloning facility right under their feet that has the Thrawn clone in it. But I thought that was so cool, like them trying to explain, you know, there's stuff out there and this is, you know, they're not really bad. They're not like the Empire. And that's what she thinks they are. She thinks they're part of the Empire, but they're not. They don't even talk to them. Nobody knows they're there. Hmm. They're doing their own secret mission out in the unknown regions.
Wow.
I don't know. I thought that was one of the coolest parts of the book.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry that I don't like that. It's not a standout moment for me so we could like share the moment.
No, that's fine.
You know, when
I just thought it was cool when like the revelation, I guess, of it all.
Right. You're listening to 26 hours. There's parts where you just kind of have to, to try to remember 26 hours, you kind of go on cruise control a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's stuff that obviously is going to stand out for you that, that's a pretty lengthy book. And then if you read it, I'm sure it's even more difficult.
Yeah.
Which
is cool. Like explaining the Yuuzhan, they pretty much explain the Yuuzhan Vong.
Yeah.
And how they you know, be prepared and fight it. And they're saying that you guys can't fight it like the way you are.
Because
Luke and Mara don't listen. They're like, oh, we'll break out of here. Screw you guys. But it makes me wonder, you know, if they would have listened and, okay, let's team you guys up with the New Republic. What might have been different? I don't really know that whole series, but yeah. I know there's a lot of people die.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes me wonder, you know, what if they would have took heed to that warning and joined up with them.
This would be the second time that he kind of alludes to the Yuuzhan Vong, as he does the same in the
flight, right?
Yeah, Outbound Flight book.
Because it's just new about all that crap out there,
right? They're out on the outskirts. Mm-hmm.
And even the Chiss warriors that are with Voss Park at that scene, they're like, "You don't know what's out there," you know.
Kind of like Finn, you don't know. You don't know the First Order like
Flynn.
That, dude.
Yeah, Flynn.
Oh, Flynn.
Yeah.
So that is.
I mean,
if we kind of carry that down, so these guys survive, Thrawn survives, but also the Emperor survives. The Emperor, let's say, you know, Palpatine survives. I wonder if the, you know, in our Legends story, overarching, you know, Legends storyline, you know, the Yuuzhan Vong show up and they bump into Palpatine, who is like this super legit, awesome dark side user. But the force was worthless. You couldn't use the force on the Yuuzhan Vong. That's what was so tough about, and that was what was so difficult about dealing with the Yuuzhan Vong. That's really cool.
Makes me wonder, you know, Thrawn was there, if they would have been able to fight him better. Because even when they came out to the cloning container and they're asking, what do we do with him? You know, Mara's like, well, 10 years ago, I would have said, let's kill him. 5 years ago, I'd be uneasy, but now I don't know. Do we keep him alive? You know, yeah. Will he be the same Thrawn? Because technically, because even Vos Park kind of alluded to it, Thrawn comes back now. He just wanted to be on the stronger side. He didn't. He wasn't for Empire. You know, he was different than all the Empire people. So it makes me wonder: what if they would have took the clone out and brought him with them? You know, I don't know.
Well, the person that actually does make it all the way through is Pelion, and Pelion plays a huge role in the future of the galaxy, and becomes, in my mind, becomes not just a Thrawn type character. He wasn't like that. He wasn't like super tactician, but very high character, very inspiring character. Not just to the, eventually the Empire becomes the Galactic Republic or the GA, the Galactic Alliance. We lose Thrawn in this whole thing, but we gain Pelion. And Pelion is like Thrawn Light or Diet Thrawn. I don't know. But he's really cool and becomes this really neat character. So that's eventually Luke and Mara will bring the Kamas document that everyone is searching for, bring the Kamas document back, and exposes the true Bothan saboteurs, that the Bothans that turned on Kamas and allowed the Kamas shield to be brought down, and then the Kamasis all died. The planet was blown away by the Empire. So that's that storyline. That's Mark, or that's Lua.
Yeah, that one's pretty Lua. Basic.
That's Luke and Mara. Yeah, it's basic. It's your basic love story with a bunch of weird creatures thrown in there. And it's kind of weird that Baron Fell was in there at the same time Han and Leia are bumping into a bunch of Baron Fell.
Let's go over to that plot line then.
Yeah, we can do that. They bump into a bunch of clones. You want to kind of talk about that
thread? Yeah, that was interesting because, you know, I never really did the Rogue Squadron trilogy at all, or any of, not the trilogy, but the whole storyline. I never read any of those. The only part I know from that whole series was I, Jedi, which we did a couple months ago, which is probably a good thing, honestly, because I knew some more of the stuff, you know, Booster Tarek and Corn Horn and all that stuff. I knew about it. I wouldn't have known if we were in an iJedi, so that worked out.
Cool.
So thanks, Dan and Corey, for suggesting that. That worked out well. But so they're going to Packard Minor for kind of a vacation that they never get. And as they get there, they get attacked by some TIE fighters. And randomly, they get saved by some TIE fighters when they're like crashing down to the planet. And they come across a whole—it's basically like a whole family of clones, and it's one of the sleeper cells that Thrawn has spread all over the place. And I thought I didn't know what the clones would have been of. You know, obviously this book was before the Clone Wars and all that stuff was written, so I was kind of confused by it.
Right.
But I guess they were cloned by Baron Fell, which maybe you can elaborate on more.
Baron Fell was like the Fell.
He's a pilot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but he's in the line of Fells. They're like Imperial. One was like an Imperial. One Fell was like an Imperial Emperor in the future. And like that whole family has Imperial ties all along the Legends timeline. And eventually, one of the Fells becomes or falls in love with Jaina Solo. That's how far. I mean, they're not.
So get used to them.
Yeah, get used to the film being in the picture. Definitely. So he's he's trained that particular character, Baron Fell, is actually trained by the Chiss, and so he is basically taken or adopted by the Chiss and trained in strategies the same as Thrawn was trained, and he becomes this really cool character that's an amazing pilot, great tactician, but also this really cool kind of neutral kind of gray area. He's not part of the Republic, but he actually is, but he actually has an allegiance to the Chiss, not really allegiance to, it's kind of muddy, but to the Republic or whatever, but it's pretty cool. He's a really neat character. But anyway, that's the continuation of the Fell family.
Yeah.
And it goes way into even the 125 years after into the legacy of the Force, the legacy comic book series as well.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I thought it was, I don't know, it's kind of confusing at first, but I kind of went along with it, I guess. But yeah, so they're there, and interestingly enough, they aren't part of the Empire, really.
Nope.
And Han didn't really want to agree with them, and neither did the Nogri. But Princess Leia could see that they were genuine. And they just, you know, they've been there so long, they had families, and they just wanted to be left alone. Right. So they make a deal to make some false information, pretty much take it to just like an outpost. And this information they knew would be it was falsified enough to be important. It had to do with the ships from the Hand of Thrawn.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd get sent back to Bastion, so Han and them could get Bastion's location to go and try to steal a Kamas document. So that was, and I can't remember his name.
Is that Carib?
Carib, yes. Yep. There you go. So yeah, Carib, that was basically his deal up to that point. Then we get Han and Lando and Lobot all going to Bastion, which was kind of interesting there as well.
They're looking for the Kamas document as well. Mm-hmm.
So we had everybody looking for it.
And they actually find one, but is that what you're talking about? They actually find one, but it's been changed.
Yeah. Yeah, so while they're there, they get caught pretty much. But they know they're there. So they're running around, they get away, but Thrawn or Flim is waiting for them at the spaceport, and he gives them a falsified copy and tells them that Velia has stolen weapons and all this stuff. And now Han believes that, oh, that is Thrawn, because he didn't believe Lando in the last book. So they get sent away from Bastion with a falsified copy, which they don't know is false until they look into it more on their ship ride back. That's the basic part of that story. Well, it was at least with Han until he goes back to Bothawee. But part of that story was Han and Leia when we said we started. Leia is a surprise visitor from Kamasi. What's his name? Eklis Akla.
Yeah.
Yep, Akla. And they basically get the message that was supposed to go to Garmbel Iblis that Pelion sent out in the first book.
Right.
So they go to meet Pelion, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. Very cool. And I think that's the beginning of Pelion really entering into, like, kind of throwing his hat in the ring as far as the plot weight.
Uh-huh.
And that's where he really comes in, and he goes and he visits Deesra, and he starts to find...
Because he found out Vermel was basically captured for no reason because a message never got there.
Right, and Vermel is dear to him, and Vermel has basically been hidden away, so Pelion won't find him because Vermel knows about Deesra, he knows the truth and all that kind of stuff. He has information and blah, blah, blah. So...
The peace offering...
The peace offering.
Well, because Vermel was sent out to do the peace offering to Garmbel Iblis, and they captured him.
That's right. So he never makes it to Garmbel Iblis.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I remember it now.
Yeah.
And so Pelion's able to free. I don't know if we're getting that far in the story, but eventually Pelion's able to free his friend and. And then he goes to deal with Deesra and the three amigos.
Which that was interesting. I mean, Pelion going to Deesra to find out what happened. Why did my message get there? And then he steals the data cards right out of his desk.
Straight out of his desk.
This is how he found Vermel's location.
And so that is...
There was a lot going on at that scene. Dude. Remember that?
Yeah. And there was...
There's Pelion in his office. There's Captain Zothip and his cronies in the Deesa's room.
The pirates.
Yeah. Han and them are running around Bastion. So there's a lot going on.
There was. And that was kind of reminiscent of maybe a lower energy version, or, excuse me, a more subdued version of, like, maybe... Return of the Jedi, where you've got, like, you know, the Force moved to Endor. You've got a battle going on in space above the moon, and then you've got the battle between Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. That kind of where there's like mm-hmm. multi layered things kind of going on. That was kind of cool.
Personally, I liked them just scrambling. There's like three of them all in each, or like swapping rooms and stuff. Like, you go get this room. I can't deal with them. You got to do this. You know, like Thrawn trying to pretend he's Thrawn and capture them throughout the town, and Deesa is running from room to room. And, you know, I don't know. I thought it was hilarious. Those three at all, every scene.
Yeah, one of my favorite characters in the book is that Tierce. But let's finish his story at the very end.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was definitely my favorite moment of the book, is the conclusion of that particular storyline. How about Talon Card, and him going to find George Cardass?
That was an interesting storyline. It was honestly kind of boring for me.
Okay.
Especially when he got to Cardass's house and he was like a sick old man.
Yeah, and then they're doing some like space Godfather.
Yeah, and then they're doing a space battle, which I could care less about.
Right.
And some weird angsty monks come out and blow him out of the sky, and then they go. And then Cardass is like, "Fine." Then it got interesting for me. It was kind of cool. My only thought was, he acted like he never really knew Thrawn that much.
Okay.
So the outbound flight is all Cardass and Thrawn.
Yeah, and they were close.
And Zahn wrote that later. So, yeah. Like, what gives?
I don't know.
Cardass also in Choices of One as, like, covered up?
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, there was some impurities there as far as continuity. They weren't, like, straight ahead, like, you know, punch you in the nose kind of, you know.
Yeah. And maybe he just didn't want to tell, you know, maybe it was his good friend, so he didn't want to tell Card. We can leave it at that, but...
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. He had his own little land over there, and especially, I don't know if you want to talk about the decision he gave Shaeda.
Yeah, to basically... To,
like, test, you know?
Yeah, follow your, you know, which path you're going to take. And she's looking for mm-hmm. a path with honor, because she's lost her... She's lost her cause, basically, and now she's looking for a cause to fight for that is one with honor. And and how he did that, she had to make the choice. He couldn't make mm-hmm. the choice for her. He presented
cool.
the dilemma. I thought that was really cool. I agree.
It was like a wisdom move. Like, he knew she was probably gonna make the right choice, but she had to make it. Like,
yeah,
here is everything you've been going for, but it'll lead you this path. Here is a different path. You don't know where it'll lead you. Which one do you want to take?
Yep.
That's cool.
It's pretty cool. There's another section there in the Cardass thread about Dagobah and how he ended up losing or running away. George Cardass left basically his fortune and his business to Talon Card, or to four leaders, and then Talon Card eventually took over. But he ended up in Dagobah, which is really cool, because that's where that beck and call was found, at Dagobah, from the Thrawn trilogy.
And not to interrupt you, I think we even talked about how lame that beck and call was when we were going through that trilogy. We're like, what's the point of this stupid thing?
Heck, you know, man, why are we, what, like, whatever came of that? Why
what's
was
the
it?
Point of this?
And I remember, you know, Lando, that's the beck and call. You know, it's like, okay, what does it have to do with
why?
Anything? But he planted that seed, literally planted it in the mud, to be found later. But here's some other cool stuff. You know how you were talking about the Ang-Ti monks and how they showed up and blew everybody out of the sky or out of space? But the Angti monks had this, they were, I don't know if they're strong, obviously strong in the force, but they had this like ability. And this is like the first, the Angti, this the first mention that I remember, as far as I know. Anyway, I'm sure it's been mentioned before. I don't know if Zahn just kind of made this up, but the Angti have this, I don't know, they have, Jason Solo later on learns this ability called Angti flow walking. And what that is he was able to go to a specific location and go into this like meditation state and go back to the past at that particular location. And the profound moment is when he is at the temple, the Jedi rebuilt Jedi temple, and he goes back in time and he's standing there and he watches Anakin Skywalker walk through the temple, and he sees and he feels the emotion in the force and his angst and his frustration and his fear of losing Padme. And that is Jason Solo's justification to the spoiler alert here for the Legacy of the Force, but his justification to dabble with the dark side. And what eventually happens way in the future after that is that act of flow walking, that act of going back and having an effect on the past, actually brought the force out of balance to where it basically woke up one of the celestials or one of the one of the powerful beings named Abeloth. And then she came back and she was the force to be reckoned with in the Fate of the Jedi series. And it all starts with this Angti monk thing, the Angti flow walking thing, and their spiritual monk thing. And it's really cool that we see this every once in a while. We see this in the Legends line, that you see a little thing dropped here, and then another author will pick it up and take the football down the field. Then another author will go somewhere else with it, and eventually you see it like, you know, somewhere along the way there's a touchdown. You're like, man, it all started with that little thing that was just kind of passingly mentioned in this conversation between Cardass and Talon Card. It's a really important, those people and the monks, the Angti, are really important in the future.
If you are a huge Star Wars fan, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. And if you love collecting Star Wars, the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps is for you.
The best part, the Star Wars Card Trader app features incredible images from the original trilogy, the prequels, the Clone Wars, Rebels, and The Force Awakens. Every era you love is included on the app.
It's easy and a lot of fun, too. Beloved characters, key scenes, and unforgettable moments are in every pack. Open the app every day and get free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina, trade with your friends, and make new ones along the way as you continue to add to your Star Wars collection. And it's all free.
The variety makes it fun, too. So chase what you love. Some of the latest packs include poster series, classic comic book series, helmet variety packs, and so much more. There are even exclusive cards you can get by completing sets, as well as special inserts and even autograph opportunities. Don't worry about missing the cards you love either, as you sign up for notifications right on the app.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
What about Nabbit and Cleef, the pet shop owners?
Oh, gosh.
That little storyline.
Yeah, it is.
You got the Z Cleef, or he's like, I don't know what X, I don't know, for those that listen to the book at least.
Yeah.
And you know what? I feel bad for Mark Thompson because he had like 40 characters he had to try to like
to differentiate.
Change up. Yeah. And he did a great job. I knew exactly what scene it was when I could hear people, especially the old lady. I forget her name too.
Oh, yeah. So that was actually on Bothawee.
Yes.
So Bothawee, there's while all of this other stuff is going on in the galaxy, there is a There are Imperials that want Bothawe to basically go away, and they're trying to tear down the shield, the planetary shield. You have New Republic representatives and special forces that are trying to protect the shield, protect that location, because the Empire is on their way, and they need that shield down so they can blow up the planet, basically, or attack the planet. And I don't know what their motivation is. Maybe they just want... I forget. I honestly forgot what their motivation. Why is it that the Imperials want Bothawe gone? Maybe because...
Well, they knew that if they lowered the shields at the Ishori, you know, they could get them to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And they remember they had the ships up in orbit, too, that were giving out... There were Imperial ships, small ones, that would give out false communications.
Okay.
Telling them to fire. So they knew that if they fired a couple shots on the planet, then the Diamala would attack them, and then they get a big space battle going while the planet's getting messed up. And then the Star Destroyers would all come out, clean up the mess, but everybody wipe out the planet, and there'd be no witnesses.
Huh.
So all the rest of the Republic would sit there and be like, well, everybody killed each other, and that'd start a big civil war. Because okay. Everybody would point the finger at everybody else. That's what I got out of it.
All right, and it was in the Empire's best interest to have a war. Well,
yeah, if they had a civil war, then they could go poach up all these other people. Like, hey, we got Thrawn. You want to join us real quick?
Okay,
you guys are at civil war. And they could slowly pick apart everybody while they're fighting each other.
Okay. All right, that's cool.
But I don't know. It was an interesting storyline, though. The little pet shop. And you had
the pet shop owners were really cool, and how they used their ability or the animals to tear down the shield, and that was cool. That's one of those ones where I was like, okay, listen to that, so you can get through it, so we can get to the other stuff. But it still had a creativity to it, and was still kind of cool.
I just forget. You know, they're especially for those of us that listen to it, there are certain voices that you can't forget.
Yeah, I think it's a German accent. I think
the old lady too.
Oh, the old lady.
I can't believe I forget her name.
I don't have it in my notes anywhere. But she was kind of cool. That she was like a calm, cool, collected special agent that was just. Smarter because she had all the experience. She was the savvy veteran, if you will. Yeah. So, well, cool. So anything else that you're thinking of before we get to the Deesra, the last of
no,
the Deesra
thread? Let's go into them. They were fun. They were my favorite part of the book.
Okay. Me too.
Just every conversation they had together. It was just, I don't know. It was good.
So we had talked about last episode about the fact that it took three people to basically make a Thrawn. And so these three people had, they were kind of recreating Thrawn. Flim was his visible appearance. You had Deesra, who was the political power behind him. And then we had Tierce, who was the strategy guy, the strategist behind the whole thing, military strategist behind the whole thing. So it was those three characters through all three books. Anytime these three characters had a scene, it was like, oh, they're back. You know, this is it.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I felt. So,
very cool. So so at the very end of their conversation, I know that they're... So they're basically over Bothawe, am I correct?
No, they were at the Yaga Minor.
Okay.
Sheesh. Because Garmbel Iblis was trying to steal a Kamas document from Yaga Minor, so he had Booster Tarek's Star Destroyer.
That's right.
But they knew it was a ruse, basically. So they pulled him in the tractor beam, and then Thrawn went on... Booster was trying to pretend he was an Imperial officer, and Thrawn's like, you know, come on, I know who you are.
Or so fake Thrawn.
I feel like he started to get into the role, though.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't go to Tierce as the book went on. He would actually use his own strategies and stuff, and he was starting to become it, I guess you could say.
I got that impression.
I felt like
as
he was growing in it, and that was kind of cool to see him growing in the role in the book.
I agree. I thought that was really cool, and he was starting to make judgment calls based on how he thought Thrawn might handle it, and like kind of shooting from the hip, but still calculated at the same time. I thought, man, this Flynn guy's got this Thrawn character down.
Yeah, and it was weird. Like a couple scenes before, it was Pelion, and then Card shows up and says, "Hey, I got something for you." And then that was like the scene. Mm-hmm. And then next scene, we have the Yaga Minor stuff. Talon Card shows up there. And he sneaks behind the enemy lines, basically, mm-hmm. with Pelion's codes and stuff. So then we're met with this scene on the bridge with Deesra, Tierce, and Flim, or Thrawn, and two, what are they called? What is that sect of people called? Like, why am I blanking on it? Shaded Ducal was one. Mistrals.
Oh, the Mistrals. Yeah.
One of the 11 Mistrals. And the other one, I forget her name, the one that was trying to kill Shada.
At the very beginning, yeah. The whole book. Very beginning of the last book, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're all there. And then Pelion shows up. I don't know if you want to take it from here, but there you knew it was going down.
Yeah. And
Pelion
and
was there.
I called you or I texted you. I'm like, oh, dude. And you were still like 8 hours away. I'm like, oh, man, just wait. But what's really cool is I'd forgotten the end, how the end kind of plays out. Like I knew eventually that there'd be a peace treaty and all that kind of stuff. But this particular ending, Pelion was there, and wasn't Talon Card there as well?
Yeah. Yep. Card went with.
Okay. And so, man, I'm going to let you do it. I'll give you my response afterwards.
All right. Yeah, I'll do it then because I just did it an hour ago. Okay. So they're on the bridge and Pelion shows up and he's like, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And they even say like Flim's eyes just widened like in fear, and Deesra is like, "What?" You know. Uh-huh. And he's like, "Oh, what are you guys doing?" He's like, "Hey, this is your admiral." And he's like, "Oh, I thought I was Supreme Commander," and he basically pulls out a data card and just starts throwing out the accusations. Basically, this isn't Thrawn, or he calls him Flim, which mm-hmm. is the greatest part. He's like, "Oh, hello." I forget the whole scene. I can't believe I just did an hour ago. Uh-huh. But he's like, "Oh, Flim," and Deesra just like starts freaking out, even in his voice. At least how Mark Thompson did it.
Uh-huh.
And then at that point, the ruse is off, and he just starts ripping into him. He's like, "Hey, I got the bio codes for Flim. Let's go test him right now." And, what's his name? I think it's Admiral. I think it's Artif. It's on his ship.
Is he the one with the ring? Is he the one that had
the one that was running the ship that they were on.
Okay.
The Relentless.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, yeah, basically Flim is ousted at that point.
But they're trying to convince this captain, the ship's captain.
Yes, that, hey, basically showing him, "Hey, this is a farce, man. This isn't Thrawn. This is Flim. I got his stuff. He's a con man, and here's his whole record." And then Deesra starts freaking out.
And at this point, I was thinking, "Yep, for some reason, I did not remember. I remember that I'm good to go." I'm like, "Yep, this is exposing Flim for who he truly is." And, and that's the end of this particular storyline.
No,
but then,
not even close. So then he goes on to the next guy, which is Groden Tierce.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts to go into where Groden Tierce was actually killed. Oh, what was it? About 10 years ago. And he, they says the whole story. He was a stormtrooper. He rose up through the ranks quickly, but then he was killed. This is, and Deesra even says it right away. "You're a clone."
I know.
And then Tierce, basically the whole ruse is off because of him. He could have, he didn't even try to lie. He just went into defense mode. It's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm just a clone." And I don't know if he explained it or Pelion. I think Tierce did, that he was a clone of Groden Tierce, but he was instilled with some of Thrawn's flash learning and some of his abilities.
And that's how he was supposed to be such a strategist.
But like a super strategy soldier.
Yep.
That was his whole meaning to be. But then Pelion says he was a failure. The program was a failure because they couldn't lead.
Yep.
And then, you know, and Tyrus is all defensive saying, oh, Deethra, I've manipulated you from the beginning. I've orchestrated this whole thing. You guys would be nothing without me. And even Pelion's like, yes, you manipulated him. You didn't lead. And the guy just like goes into like a breakdown, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. This, out of all of the, you know.
I didn't expect that at all. I thought something else could have happened.
Either I had forgotten or listened to it long enough to where I was like, you know, clones weren't really a big deal before, because this book came out before episode one. So we really didn't have this like thing about clones yet. And the Clone Wars hadn't even come out, or Attack of the Clones wasn't out. It was still, the only mention of clones was from A New Hope and
Sabaoth.
And I guess Sabaoth was what was a clone. But as far as like the movies, like we didn't, because that, I feel like the movies is really what endeared us to the clones, especially like the, you know, during the Attack of the Clones and then the cartoon. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
this whole like anti-clone, I want to say kind of racism kind of thing. This part right here was my favorite because I was surprised again, or I don't know, or I didn't catch it the first time that like the gravity of it, that I was like, no way. It's funny when you listen to a book that you've already listened to and you're re-surprised or you That's re-enjoy good,
though.
It.
Yeah.
And so, man, I just thought that was the coolest thing. And the fact that he kind of folded in on himself. And
yeah, and he's like unstable. And that's where I thought they'd mention the clone stability stuff. Because he like started freaking out and like, you know,
becoming exactly what he was, not what he's created to do, but his weakness kind of was exposed in that moment. And then Flynn was like, hey man, I'm just here for, you know, I'm just here for the role.
It'll be in captivity, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
I love the voices. Is not to get off track, but man, the voices were perfect. I don't know, for those, I feel sorry if you didn't listen to it, but you should download the audiobook. It was a great journey just seeing all three of their voices. And he would, especially when he would do the yeah, I'm just Flip, Grand Admiral Thrawn. Like, yeah. You know, he would change his voice in mid-sentence certain times, and it was cool.
He's definitely a talented actor, and to be able to, over 26 hours, to be able to kind of spread all of this out, spread all of these characters out and give them a unique, to give them a uniqueness, so when you hear a voice, you know exactly who's speaking.
Captain Zotha.
Just amazing. Amazing. Yeah. He was basically Barbados. Or
literally like a pirate. Yeah.
What you have to do now, Jack?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's,
but yeah, then Tyrus.
Tyrus was a clone the whole time, and I had no idea, and it was completely blew me away.
Shada.
Go ahead. You were going to say about Shada?
Well, no, just Shada, how Shada kills him too. And just,
oh yeah.
I felt kind of rushed.
Kind
of random, but
still it exposed like her like booty kicking, like awesomeness. You know, she just,
who else would have killed him? He had to have her there. I mean,
yep.
Nobody else. I mean, was Pelion going to kill him? I don't think so.
Mops the floor with him. But in his defense, I mean, he was already like his world or galaxy was rocked. Yeah. She was quicker. She got to him before he could do any damage, and that really showed her skill and her awesomeness. So that was cool.
Like the Pelion offered her a job.
Yeah. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think there's something during the Clone Wars books that has something that has her and Pelion in it, but I can't say for sure. And I'll do a little bit of research and get back to you on that topic. But I think in the future, there's a book where she gets captured and he is sent to find her and then find a special agent. And then he finds out that it's her and they've actually had some sort of a relationship, and he has to declare on the bridge that his ability to make a decision is hampered by the fact that he's had a personal relationship with this person. And so that's one of the scenes that I always remember. And I hope that was way long ago that, that I listened to that book. I think it's No Prisoners, is the name of the book, the clone during the Clone Wars era. Anyway, that may even have been written by Karen Travis, but, that's just all right now off the top of my head. So, you know, I'm sure I'm wrong about 50% of the stuff I just said, but, this is some really cool information about this book before we get into our final thoughts. So, there were supposed to be 19 books. Bantam, Doubleday or Bantam Books was the licensee, that basically commissioned all of these books. It started with The Truce at Bakura and it ended with this book. The very next adult novel, hardcover novel that came out was Episode One, written by Terry Brooks. And that was after Del Rey had acquired the license. So they became the new novel licensee. It's really cool to think that Timothy Zahn started the series, or started the Bantam book thing, and ended it. That was always their intention, for him to start and end it, and that it ended with a peace treaty between the Republic and the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's really cool. And that Zahn wrote both of those, the beginning and the end, of course, all the other books in between. And he's written other stuff since then as well. He was the one that got to close this thing up and button it all up right before Episode One came out. So, and that's why it's so large. That's why it's such a big book, because they were rushed to finish it, before all the new stories came out. So pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. But what was your overall thoughts on this book?
I mean, I enjoyed it. Of course.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, there were some parts where it slowed me down. I was like, ugh, you know, this plot line, nothing's really happening.
Right.
But there was such a jumping around between different ones. The variety was there. And there were so many different things going on at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool. And we've already talked about it. The whole Flim and their whole little Three Amigos thing was just, it was almost comical, their scenes. When they're scrambling around trying to do stuff. Deesra is a short fuse. Tierce is just a jerk. And Flim doesn't know what he's doing. You know, it was just a perfect combination. And it felt very organic when they would talk and have conversations. It didn't feel, I never felt like the conversation was forced or something didn't fit. It was always organic between how he wrote those characters. I enjoyed it.
And
it
was, true to the original purpose for the characters, like they never broke. Well, with the exception of Flim starting to become more like Thrawn, at the very very end of the book. But like I always felt like even if I didn't hear the Mark Thompson version, you could always tell the angle that each one of these characters had just by the dialogue. And he didn't cross over. Like they always had their role, and anytime one crossed into the role of another, there was correction by the three of them. You know, correction was brought back to, no, this is it. If you get too powerful, you get, Deesra gets too powerful, then physically Tierce would challenge him. And then Flim, if he got too clever, then Deesra would then correct. There's like this check and balance between the three of them. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I agree. That's my favorite part of the book as well. That whole storyline.
I felt like, you know, the Thrawn trilogy is so great. And it was the first series we did, which kind of stinks because it's already done, you know?
Uh-huh.
Maybe someday we can go back and do it again, give our thoughts from their first time.
Yeah,
but I really feel like this duology, it felt like it was part of the same story.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't feel like these books were different in a different way. I mean, obviously it's the same writer, and same characters, but it felt like it was meant to be part of the same series.
I agree. And I don't know if it, I think it's a perfect combination of Zahn being who Zahn is, and then these characters being, you know, who they are, and him representing them so well that he knows how to write all of these characters and to keep them authentic and connected to the movies. And the idea that, I mean, some of the characters that he's created are my favorite characters, Talon Card, Mara Jade. I mean, those are some of my favorite characters in the whole Legends storyline.
Yeah.
So definitely a huge fan of the Thrawn trilogy and the duology. And I don't know where this rates, probably up there. Maybe it's so long. He had to put so much. It would have been cool if this was two books, but, and I don't know which one I would have liked if we split this in half, or where that would be a good place to stop.
Yeah, but, sure.
But, I don't know. The Zahn books that we've reviewed, this is up there, upper tier.
Yeah.
You know,
which it sounds bad when I say out of the Zahn books we've done far, it's probably fifth.
Yeah.
But when you put Outbound Flight and Thrawn trilogy in there, it's like, well, look what it's being rated against.
Yeah.
I think it's the Inspector of the Past.
Yeah. It's just levels of good. And,
yeah.
And definitely if we, you know, if we say, well, we like one book better than the other that Timothy Zahn has written, he's head and shoulders above it. Everyone.
Maybe my fifth Timothy Zahn book, but it's probably near my top 10 total, you know.
Yeah. Out of 180, 200 books or whatever there's been. But, I give this an A, two thumbs up, whatever we say. And the fact that the sentimental value of it being the conclusion of the Bantam book line and being the end of the Galactic Civil War, and then the beginning of the rest, basically beginning of the rest of the storyline with Mara Jade marrying Luke and setting up the whole idea of the twins and the Solo twins, and I mean all of that happened under Zahn's watch, and it's so cool and so awesome. So yeah, big fan. So I don't know. I don't know where we go from there. Besides our next month and our next book, but that sure is it's a bummer to have the storyline. This is the end of the Zahn storyline right here. So it's kind of sad, a little bit sad, a little bit, a little bit of a bummer when you're,
but luckily we're getting a new one.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the light we have.
A new Thrawn book is coming out. So that's really cool. But when we started this, you know, it always felt like, and there still is, there, we're going to be reviewing, a couple more of the Timothy Zahn books coming up in the next couple months, or in the next few months anyway. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there was always a Thrawn something ahead of us, and now here we are at the end of it in the Legends line, anyway, it's kind of a bummer. It's kind of sad. I'm like, oh, well, and like you said, it'd be really cool to maybe review, maybe Heir to the Empire or something someday.
Yeah. And just kind of see where our thoughts maybe changed or, you know.
Yeah. You know, this October was when we started. So we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe after 3, 4, 5 years, we go back and we revisit that first book again and see how our thoughts have changed, but maybe we'll get a chance to do that again once we run out of books, which is going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
It's just going to take 200 months to do it. So,
yeah.
Well, just a quick reminder and a quick congratulations to Lisa Mountain for winning our Legends Library Card 2016 drawing, and she will be our co-host next month, as we look at The Rise of Darth Vader, written by James Liceno. And so we're looking forward to that. That's going to be super cool. Luke, why don't you let everybody know how to get a hold of us?
All right. So if you don't know how to get a hold of us, you can head over to Twitter. It's at Legends Library, all one word. Over on our Facebook, it's Legends Library Podcast. And then we also have a couple emails. We have Coffee with Kenobi. So it's legendslibrary@coffeewithkenobi.com. Mm-hmm. And we also have legendslibrarypodcast@gmail.com if you want to go that route as well. Mm-hmm. And while you're over there on coffeewithkenobi.com, make sure you check out all the other shows. You know, Rebels Reactions will be starting back up here shortly. That'll be very cool. Definitely going to listen to that to see, you know, the opinion of Thrawn and stuff.
Yep. And you can also find us on YouTube now, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I saw that they're uploading the episodes on there.
Yeah. And because of that, we had to change the music and change our intro. So I hope you guys like our new intro.
Great work by Randy and everybody else. To give him applause for the new logo as well.
Oh, man. It was
It up.
It's a labor of love, I'll tell you. Barely know what I'm doing there. Barely. I used everything I knew. That was it. So there's professional people out there that look at this, that look at our, you know, look at the logo like, oh, wow, that's it. That's it. That's all I know. There wasn't another thing I knew. So, but it was a ton of fun. It's always fun to kind of revamp things, and kind of gives me new inspiration, you know, to keep going and to keep reading and, you know, just keep praising the authors and the books and the, you know, just the coolness that is the Legends line of books. But so, well.
Also, go over there and check out Lattes with Leia, Comics with Kenobi, and Coffee with Kenobi. So don't want to leave them out.
That's true. Very good. We'll do that. We'll do what you say, Luke. We'll all do that. And, well, as far as this episode, I think we'll go ahead and bring that to a close. What do you say?
All right, let's do it.
Very cool. Well, my name is Randy.
And I'm Luke.
And may the Force be with you.
See ya.
If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.